Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Brian Lenny. He is the founder and editor of the Junior Stock Review, also writes a premium newsletter under that same name. I'll post a link to Brian's website. You can read over some of his free content and consider signing up for his newsletter. Brian, let's focus on some of the nuances in the moves when it comes to the precious metals. First and foremost, let's talk about gold, because gold is having another good day on the futures market. Gold is up a little over $25. On the spot market, gold is also up about $20, bringing its trading level to right around $1,891 on both the futures and the spot market. However, curiously, we're seeing GDX, GDXJ, they're down for today. Not down huge, but they're not following along with this almost a 1.5% move in the underlying gold price. You know what? Gold is so close to these all-time highs, and it's gotten here so quickly when you consider gold was trading, well, hundreds of dollars lower even at the start of the year, and even going back to 2018 when it was under $1,200. What do you think about the environment that we're in right now, where recently, at least, gold is running? Some of the stocks seem to be running out of steam, especially when you look at some of the more established ones.
Yeah, sure. The price action in the metal prices has been fantastic. You know, like you said, we're hovering on that, you know, uninflation adjusted all-time high around 1900. And you know, I think rightfully so. You know, breaking this answer up into two portions, I think the gold price where it is, you know, it still probably isn't calibrated to what it needs to be, considering, you know, the amount of spending. You know, if it wasn't the stuff to start off the crisis with in Canada, you know, the CERB monies that were given out to Canadians that were put out of work because of the lockdown, or any of the stimulus spending in Canada, the States, or in the EU, it's just been insane. And, you know, the debt continues to climb. The government's become larger and larger parts of the economies. And, you know, in response, gold is where it is, and I think going to go much higher. So, you know, I fully expected to see this, maybe not this quick, but, you know, I think things are moving probably where they should be, considering where we are. You know, as we've talked about in the past, I don't like to invest in junior companies because I think the metal price is going to go up. Ultimately, that leads to mistakes. And, you know, over the haul, investors are better to pick up based on the fundamentals of the company. And if the metal price is going with them, that's that gravy. And of course, this bull market that we're in, everybody can see what that can look like. And it really spurs the catalysts ahead. And that's what I think investors should be concentrated on right now. You know, basically, have just come out of the lockdown in North America. These companies have just restarted their drill programs. Some are just starting to get results coming in. The last 2 weeks for me personally, there's two or three companies that had results that were delayed as they were just coming into the labs as the lockdown occurred, have just started spitting out results. And really, it's been tough, you know, to keep up with all that news and to see, you know, the market moving as strongly as it has. So for me, I don't like to try to time the market. I think the gold price is where it should be, and I think it'd actually be much higher, but over probably a longer timeline. And then second to that, you know, for me, I don't like to time the market, and I'm basing my buys and sells off what's going on with the company. And I think for most companies right now, they're just really getting started on the heart of those catalysts that are ahead. And for me, unless the stock price has really gone up, I don't see any point to sell yet.
Okay, but a lot of stock prices have gone up. Honestly, if I think you're in a gold or silver stock and the stock price hasn't pretty much doubled in the last month or month and a half, then you're in a huge laggard. How would you balance that out, assuming that maybe, I'm sure we all have maybe one stock that just hasn't really followed along with all the other rises?
Sure. Well, I think there's two different ways to look at it, too. Like, has the stock moved, you know, 100% or 200% since its low in the crisis, or has it moved 100% or 200% above where it was pre the crisis? I think they're sort of two different things. That's one thing that I was considering with some of the, you know, the money deployed in the portfolio is, you know, a lot of these companies have now reached those levels, and, you know, a lot of them have gone above what they were with the gold price. But I think, you know, the investors need to look at the difference between where the price is now and where it was pre-crisis, and then use that as a gauge to, you know, what appreciation of that price that you want to sell at. Like, I am an advocate of selling along the way. I think, you know, waiting for a double or a triple to say that I'm going to take 30% off the table can be an issue, but everybody's different. So, you know, for me, it depends on the company. But a lot of these companies that I'm looking at, you know, I've taken some money off the table, but I'm ready for these catalysts to come. And drill results are just around the corner for a lot of them.
So drill results are the main catalyst that you are looking out for. In all fairness, drill results have been able to move stocks. It's definitely an exploration market where if you can put out high-grade results, your share price sees an immediate impact. But is that strictly what you're focused on, just drilling and upcoming drill results?
No, that's a great question, though. And yes, that's kind of what my thoughts were. The market is responding to good drill results. A company that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, Abraplata, for instance, you know, their share price did respond initially to the results that came out in January. They were great results by any standards. You know, thick intervals of high-grade gold, silver, and you know, that I think it was 5.1% copper, these breccias, and they're going to be following up on that. And while the stock, the share price did respond earlier this year, I don't think it really gave it the amount of value or the recognition that it should have. And now going, you know, to today, I would say there's a good chance that if they come up with something similar in these follow-up drill results, I think that the stock could really move. And but we'll see. You know, it's nothing is for sure. Outside of that, yeah, like I think that, you know, one company in particular has an economic study coming out this quarter. Their share price is moving, but really it's on no news. And, you know, I guess it always is going to depend. But I think drill results, considering how the market is moving, like you said, there could be a good move in the share price if, you know, they hit.
Well, especially right now, we definitely have this environment where it's this rising tide lifting pretty much all of these stocks. So, hey, it's understandable. People sitting on these stocks, even with no news, they're seeing them consistently move higher. But it's still important to, I think, look to those companies that are doing the work that could truly be a catalyst, even if it wasn't this bull market, because then they should outperform this general rising tide. Let's talk about general volume that at least I've been noticing on the markets. You look at something like GDX and we're seeing fairly steady volume, even a little bit of declining volume, but it's nothing severe. It's really just a steady volume that we have seen for most of this year, at least after that March washout. However, I look at some of these junior stocks and their volume is just skyrocketing. What do you take away from all these shares that are trading hands? It seems like on individual companies, but the ETFs are not seeing that skyrocketing volume.
Yeah, in my opinion, it's got to be some profit taking. You know, it's a, of course, a guess. I can't say for sure. But I would say it's definitely some profit taking, especially, you know, if you look at those individual companies that are maybe going down a little bit more than the others. Those ones that have had, you know, a drill result or, you know, some sort of catalyst that the share price has had some sort of run and now it's kind of tapering back a bit. And, you know, the thing is, it goes without saying, I guess, that things, I think, are tied to that gold price. And I think if we're breaking 1900, I think a lot of this sell-off will be bought and, you know, we move the next leg up. And, you know, rightfully so, I guess there may be more trepidation than I think, at least, that you know, people look at it from a technical perspective and think, oh, wow, you know, we've come a long way in a short period of time. You know, maybe we could sell off. But again, it goes back to, you know, nobody can call the market with any consistency. And therefore, I think most investors are better off trying to base it off of, you know, selling on a catalyst or deciding what they want to do with their position based off information that's coming from the company, not necessarily because the gold price fell $10 or $20.
What about the silver price, too? Because silver earlier this week was moving almost a dollar a day, sometimes more than a dollar a day. I realize silver has a lot of catch-up to do, but it does show, I think, that there is still a large retail audience that is still finding the sector because silver is primarily a retail precious metal.
Sure. And you know what? I think this recent move is actually quite good, because in my view, a lot of the price action in those that subset of silver producers, developers, explorers, was probably valued in and around the silver price anyways. You know, the silver bug seems to be very forward looking and whatever floats your boat. But you know, really from the production level, now you start talking about this, you know, $20 to $25 silver price. A lot of these, you know, marginal silver producers or ones right on that cusp, are going to be able to make some money. And I think that's a big deal, especially as we move forward. And if this price holds, you know, these Q3 results could be really important, especially considering that, you know, the world may be headed to another lockdown, you know, basically between Q3 and Q4. And so, you know, we'll see how that goes.
One thing to also consider about these moves, not just in precious metals, but moves in a lot of metals, is the falling US dollar. The US dollar is down again today. This does or can directly impact the price of, let's say, precious metals, since we are focusing on those. But one other consideration is that these precious metals have been at all-time highs in pretty much every other currency around the world for months and years. So, hey, maybe the falling US dollar just helping the metals price in US dollars terms play catch up. How crucial has this falling dollar been in your eyes to support this rising precious metals price?
You know what? I think it's directly correlated with it. You know, the US dollar, although it has its issues, is still the prettiest pig at the slaughterhouse and still provides a tremendous amount of liquidity around the world for people that need it. And I think it, honestly, I think it's going to continue to be that way. But yeah, I would say that the weakness in the US dollar is probably directly related to what we've seen the uptick in gold. And, you know, I think that trend continues as it rightfully should. But in saying that, the US dollar will still be, you know, sought after unless we're going to have a complete reset in some regard. We'll still be that currency that's looked at as a safe haven, and you know, continue to be that seesaw between you know, gold setting all-time highs and you know, staying neutral. So we'll see where that goes. If, like I said to start the interview, I see the gold price going higher. And then invariably, that means that the US dollar is probably going to weaken. And with that, unfortunately, for those of us that live in Canada or most of the other nations around the world, that means that our dollar is most likely going to get worse too and buy less goods. And that's the trade-off for high gold prices. Like the high gold prices are great for, you know, for our resource portfolios, but in reality, you know, hitting $2,000 gold for the global financial system is a very, very bad sign. And it does have a trade-off. And I would say for precious metals investors, at least we're sort of ahead of the curve in that way, where, you know, in this next whatever is coming, it's probably not going to be how much you make, but how who loses the least is maybe the better way to put it.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's an aspect of a rising precious metals market is that the rest of the world is not doing great, especially in terms of economics. But hey, there's a lot of money being created right now, and that money is more and more landing on the precious metals. But yeah, all these cheerleaders for $2,000 gold, $5,000, $10,000 gold. It's a weird world that we are living in if that does happen, especially if it happens very quickly. But no doubt, still very much bull market action for precious metals, even though some of the stocks are starting to lag a little bit. Brian, appreciate your time. Again, I will post a link to your website, and we will chat again in the next couple weeks. Thanks for your time, Brian.
Thanks for having me, Corey.